This day, as you already know, is about kids. So here's what I'm going to have all the kids do. This is a little different for you today. So all the kids stand up. Mr. Jeff, back here in the back, if you wouldn't mind grabbing these, Mr. Jeff, is going to, and if somebody else wants to help out, that's fine. But all you little kids out there, I want to give you one of these, okay? We have sermon notes that we do every Sunday. So raise your hand or stand up, all you kids, wherever you're at, just stand up, raise your hand, whatever. He's going to pass them around for you. I think Mike or Vivian's going to help as well. They're going to give you one of these around the room. This is something we've never done really quite like this before. Who knows? Might do it all the time. But these are message notes. Why? Because Billy's message is so incredibly awesome that you want to make sure you take notes. But it actually is notes that I kind of helped create in Miss Lumsden. Mrs. Lumsden actually made them pretty. But they are sermon notes for you today. At the same time, all of you adults out there, we've been doing this a lot, but you have sermon notes. There's also a QR code if you want to get online and pull that up. If you're online right now and you'd like to pull that up, you can pull on the QR code for that. But these notes are for that. Well, I really want you to take good notes because, as you have already discovered, today is about children and their parents and grandparents and, frankly, the entire church. I don't know about you. Jeff and I were talking about this a few minutes ago. Is that when we were singing Jesus Love Me, you may have noticed I couldn't sing all the words. And it wasn't because I can't read, because I could read the words on the wall. But it kind of was super touching to even watch a few of the brave children. Many of the kids go, there's not a chance I'm going to get up front. And that's totally fine. But for all of those kids and to watch them sing that and to see you as a church family sing an ancient song, a very old song that much of the world knows, and to sing through those verses, that's where we're at today. Proverbs chapter 22, it's continuing our summer study of the book of Proverbs and God's wisdom merging with the everyday ordinary parts of our normal lives. Next week, we're going to talk about money, actually. But this week, we're going to talk about kids, parenting, grandparenting, raising up, whether we have children or not. I want you to find this very famous verse in your Bible. Please open your Bibles, be electronic or physical ones that you have in the room. There are Bibles around the room or at home or wherever you happen to be with a group of people. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. There are some Proverbs out there that we say, that, oh man, I never heard. We've done some recently that people say, I never really read that. I've sort of fallen in love with the Proverbs all summer because I've been encouraging all of us, just read the Proverbs for the summer. Unlike some that we go, that's weird, never heard of that one before. This is one that you find on coffee mugs. Sometimes you find it at a baby shower. When you go and you see gifts and people give that, you know, one of the several verses in, you know, raise up a child in the way they will go, and those kinds of things that we see. We recognize that. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Marta's really done this already in such a wonderful way, and she's right. She's totally right. When you read verses, sometimes it's helpful to read it in multiple English translations, or if you speak another language, frankly, even read it in those languages as well. But at some point, you kind of dig deep into what the Hebrew of this word. And I thought for fun, I too would walk us through a different part of the verses. Again, kids, follow along your notes as you need to. If you need a pen or crayon or anything else, we've got those in the lobby. Jeff will help you back there if you need that as well. But let's look at some of these. In the NIV, here's how different some of these come out. Start children off in the way they will go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. NIV, New International Version. It's a good version. It says the same thing in each one with a slight different nuance. Look at the New Living Translation. It says, direct your children onto the right path. And when they're older, they will not leave it. Let's look at the Holman Version. It's become very popular in that way. It says, the Christian Standard Bible, it says, teach a youth, is the way they use it, about the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. How about the New American Standard Bible? Been around a long time. And I read all of these, actually. But this one says, train up a child. So it uses a little different word. in the way he will go, in the way he will, should go, and when he grows older, he will not abandon it. You already see, start them off, direct them, teach them, now train them. And then this is an amplified, it's kind of a paraphrase, which I often turn to paraphrases. They're not word by word specific, but they kind of try to give an idea. It's just kind of interesting. The Amplified Bible, been around a long time, says, train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents, and that's in parentheses, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And in the Contemporary English Version, teach your child right from wrong. So slightly different nuance, and when they grow old, they will still do right. You see the differences? It's kind of fascinating. This ancient Hebrew proverb that Solomon wrote down for it. And now we maybe have the best translation or paraphrase of all. I call this the BMP. This is the Billy Loosely Meandering Paraphrase. Now, all of you biblical Hebrew scholars, do not call me a heretic at this point. It's sort of Billy's commentary sort of a way, and that's why Billy meanders anyway. We all know that. So let me meander through this verse, Proverbs 22:6. When raising your children who are under your authority, as they pass through life on their path, raise them up, recognizing each individual child's bent, personality, calling, and giftedness, but teaching and showing them God's wisdom using your own influence and learning and showing them firsthand from your personal walk with God, the BMP. Don't take this out of this room, all right? My wife and I, here recently, we had a refrigerator that broke. I had a car battery that went bad, too. I've had alternator issues. But recently, when we went to buy and we had to replace the fridge, not an easy thing to do in the COVID world, right? But we had to go down and figure out how do we not only get a fridge and make it fit in the right spot, because we have a certain thing that it's got to fit into. If it's too big, it won't go. If it's too small, it'll look weird. We bought a fridge, found the one we wanted, and they said, well, we have a one-year guarantee. If you want a guarantee longer than that, you have those $250, which sounds like highway robbery to me. But we debated back and forth, but we walked home with a guarantee from Lowe's in this case and said, you promised us that if it breaks in the next 3 years, anything breaks, we get the fix. But probably after 3 years and 2 days, it'll go bad. Why? Because most of us don't really trust guarantees. And often, as it's already been pointed out, we look at the Proverbs, sometimes all of the Proverbs, sometimes, and including, and maybe especially this one, and think to ourselves, surely this is God's guarantee. Train up a child. Start them. Show them right from wrong. Train them in the way they will go down the right path, and they're not going to veer off that path. It's a promise, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm going to put it on my bathroom wall when I have a newborn baby, and we're going to make sure that I cram the Bible down this child's throat so that when they're old, they will not forget what I said to them. Amen? Close our Bibles. Let's go home. We all know that, of course, the challenge of raising children of all ages is interesting, to say the least. Whether you have raised children yourself, the one thing that is for sure is that you were a child at one time, and I'm quite certain that you did everything that your parents directed you down the right path, correct? And we know that that's not true. We have all disappointed our parents, and sometimes our children, our grandchildren, or the children of influence in our lives have kind of gone down different roads, and we've struggled with that. But here's the deal, what this proverb really teaches us. It's not about a guarantee. It certainly is about the wisdom of spiritual parenting. And parenting is not, it certainly is, the biological kids, the children, adopted children, the children that are in my care, the foster kids, whatever they are in my care, absolutely means them or grandchildren. It certainly means also all the kids that happen to be in our path. So I'm going to very, very quickly try to start here with this comment about how we walk through this spiritual parenting and why it is so important. Because we know the proverb now. You got it, Proverbs 22:6. I'm telling you, I always tell people, underline in your own Bible, highlight these so you know where it's at. Proverbs 22:6, easy to put on the wall, difficult to live sometimes and understand. But parenting, spiritual parenting, is not just a disciplinary action of trying to go to a parenting class. It really goes back, and the journey is much longer than this, but it goes back, I think, first to God's covenant. If you remember last year in our teaching, I built a wall. I finished it in May. And this wall that I built was a theological wall that said everything is based upon the holiness of God. But when mankind became shattered, He, God, entered into a covenant relationship with us as His people. In that case, the early followers of Him. Let's just tag it on to Abraham. Certainly wasn't the only one, but he was a significant one. God's covenant to Abraham was, you follow me. I promise you I will do this for you. It's God's covenant kind of a promise. In fact, but he not only tells him this, look at, and it's kind of interesting, in Bible, look at your own Bible, Genesis 18:8 and 18:19. For Abraham certainly will certainly become a great and mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him, he says. But look at this. I have singled him out, and he will direct. Catch this. This is actually, you kind of overlook this easy. He will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Long before the Proverbs was written, God said to Abraham, I commission you to pass this on to your sons, your daughters, your children, the generations to follow. Undeniably, spiritual parenting is not just a, man, hope your kids do fine. There is a spiritual reason why we do this, and it is based upon living out God's covenant in a broken world. That's kind of the wall we tried to build and why it's important for us to do this. And so how do we pass it on? The most important way to pass it on, we want to pass it on to anybody who comes along. But undeniably, the next generation, the value of that goes way, 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 way up. Because why? Because they are actually ours. The next generation to follow us. Certainly our children and grandchildren, but even the people who have influence. And there's so many significant things we'll talk about in a minute on that. But that's God's covenant people reflect a holy God. And so God's covenant people pass on a covenant relationship to that next generation. That is spiritual parenting. So now let's jump ahead to the next book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 20. You want to open your Bibles? Please do so. Exodus 20, verse 12, a very familiar verse. Now we're in the time of Moses. Moses had gone out into the desert with the covenant people, the people of God, and he went up on Mount Sinai and he brought down these tablets, and they're called what? Ten commandments. Ten commandments. Not just to have rules to follow, but to live out a covenant relationship. Interestingly enough, here's one of them, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Then you will live a long and full life in the land of the Lord, that the land of the Lord was giving you. We read that verse and we think, okay, yeah, sure, fine. It's all about the Jews, not about me. And then in this case, you say, this is not about parenting. This is about kids, listen to me. I'm the older, you're the younger. You behave, you follow what I say to do. Well, it is that, but let's catch this. This is a covenant based again upon God's covenant people. And it implies two very important things. We're going to study the Ten Commandments in a couple of years, actually. But in this case, it's a child that now looks up to the parent, the leader, the one above them, right? The one older to them for guidance and modeling, role modeling. So the child looks up. So that means this parent, and the Bible speaks to this much very clearly in many places, that parent is honorable, God-fearing, and a covenant person themselves, and an example of a life that points their life to that holy God that we build our theology on. If my life points to a holy God, my children can look at me and see that reflection of that and that example and that mentoring of that. So a parent looks up to the Heavenly Father, and that allows the child to look up to the parent. See how that works? The point is that covenant people pass on a covenant relationship to the next generation. And so that's why raising children is a spiritual act of passing on to that very next generation, not just the right and wrong, but the covenant relationship to a covenant God. Guys, I can't tell you how critical that is to understand that in child rearing. There are things we do about child rearing. We're going to talk about them in a minute. But this is why. This is why we do what we do. So now let's turn back to Proverbs 22 again. Proverbs 22:6 says again, what does it say? Raise up a child, whatever version you want to use. But raise up a child the way they're going. When they are older, they will not depart from it. Sometimes they use the he or the she, but whatever it is, the point of that whole verse is, this is about that next generation, whomever they might be, the boys and the girls that are raised in our care, that are under our supervision, that have now been placed in our responsibility in that way. And that's why the powerful wisdom of this proverb is not just a good tip on, teach your kids how to do right. Do right, kids. You need to listen to me. It's pointing those young men and women to a covenant walk because you have one. Because you have one. I'm going to give you three blueprints. This is in your kids' notes too. So there's blueprint. You know what a blueprint is? A blueprint is something that you draw up when you're building something. So many of you, if you've ever built a house, where did you start? You didn't start with going to the store and with sticks, lumber to build. You started with a plan, a blueprint, a pattern to follow, a path to walk. It's going to be this long, this wide, this high, with these angles and all the different pieces. That's what architects do. We have some architects in our church, and they draw up blueprints for these things. Not all blueprints work, trust me. I've built actually a few things in my life. Sadly, I built stuff without a blueprint. They're not houses, but I have built a few things. Some have turned out well, some not so much, because I kind of wing it along the way. Sadly enough, that is not the way to raise children. Let's just wing it. But there are blueprints, and blueprints can go either sour or good, depending on how it is. And I guess what I'm trying to point out to us, I think this proverb, in so many ways, points out the wisdom of the fact that there is a good blueprint and there's a negative blueprint. And this is what I'm going to talk about, the definite and definitive do-nots of a blueprint of raising children. And I call this the blueprint of rebellion. There really is. Now, in the sovereignty of God, in the unbelievable sovereignty of God, we know that we're not going to get all things right. Let's just be clear. Nobody gets this right. Nobody. Nobody. The best of the best of the cream of the crop of something that you idealize is not going to always get this right. So it's not like, again, these constant guarantees. However, there is wisdom and understanding. There are things you do, and there are definitely things you do not do. I'm going to talk about some of those do not that I think are destructive and I think are truly blueprints for rebellion. These are not really in the Proverbs. These are from wisdom of many other places, including, frankly, even my own personal experience. The number one thing I would say in all this is that when we turn to our child and say, child, you need to live up to my dream. My dream for you is this. Now, yes, you need a dream for your child. Of course you do. If you have a child or a grandchild or a responsible kid that you're responsible to, of course you want to impart good, wonderful dreams. But I'll tell you what, the most destructive thing in the world is the fact that when we come to them and say, I need you to do what I do. There's mountains of sad stories. One that I remember distinctly from ancient days, and I don't want to be too specific. It's not by anybody from this hometown, but there was a superstar athlete that I knew who was an All-American and a professional, whatever, along the way, that when that person became that superstar, he carried those paper clip, those clippings of newspapers with them everywhere they went, and they instructed their child that you will not succeed until you live up to pop, to my dream. And what happened? It was a blueprint for complete and total rebellion, and it did. I can promise you that's a don't. Let me tell you another one. Child, your job is to carry on my traditions. Is there anything wrong with traditions? Absolutely not. Traditions are those wonderful things that we do at holidays and we do at different times of the year. There are things that you love, things that I love, that I try to have tried very much to pass on to my kids. Some of those stuck. But the point about sometimes traditions, as good and wonderful and delightful as they can be, is that sometimes they kind of give the impression that, child, life ends with me, and now your job is to not create anything new, just do everything that I did, and you're fine. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about grandpa, grandma. Let me tell you what they used to do. We do this only because of this. It's not our job to start anything brand new. That takes the joy out of life. I think it kills spirits. I think it's a blueprint for rebellion. I'll give you another one. Child, the right path is the right career path. So we raise up a child along the way and say to them, the only real success in life is a great career. You get a good career, and then I'm going to literally, when you turn 18, Amelia, who's almost 18, when you turn 18, we're going to just let you go out the window, find your own career, leave us alone. Now, not many of us do. Your parents will not do that. But in that, sometimes that feeling is that the right path in this modern world only equals the right career path. They became a lawyer. They became a star athlete. They became a fill in the blank. They fulfill these things, and my goal for you is as long as you can have a great career, you got it all right. Boy, that is just not true. Is there anything wrong with a great career? Of course not. But you get the point. It's a very, if you leave it at that, that becomes the end. And you know what the end of that is? The end is a retirement and a good 401k. And the end of that, to be honest with you, is a life that sits around and goes, what the heck am I supposed to do now? Because my life was all about my career. Let me give you another one. Using the Bible as a whip for correction. Now, I don't see this too often these days, but I do have someone in my past that I know for a fact that their goal was to, their parents' goal for them was to literally slug them over the head with a Bible. And so the constant correction of their life was, you know, it says in the Bible this, don't do that. You know, in the Bible it says, don't do this, don't do that either. Now, even if some of those verses in the Bible, there are warnings in the Scripture for sure. But a Bible used as a whip instead of the glowing Word of God that can instruct, correct, teach, and guide people on the right path is nothing more than a buggy whip. You guys don't know what buggy whips are. My grandmother used to, my grandparents used to have buggies way back when. So they knew what that was. But let me tell you, a buggy whip was something that you used to whip someone, and that's often the way people feel about the Scripture if you use it wrong. The Bible is God's joyful word of the journey of life, and you discovered that, and you allow your kids to discover it as well. And then here's one. Here's what also I'd say part of the blueprint for rebellion. Do as I say, fill in the blank here, not as I do. We know that one. And it's true. It's a blueprint for rebellion. There's two verses that you can quickly highlight. You can look up these for yourself, but do so. Colossians 3, 20 and 21. Why does it say, children, obey your parents? For this pleases the Lord. That's to the kids, right? But then it says, fathers, that masculine side. I'm not sure why I didn't say mothers too. But it certainly does say fathers, do not aggravate your children. Or what? They will get discouraged. You will literally pound them to the dirt. Do as I say, not as I do. Ephesians 6, 1 and 4, it has the same thing. It starts with that. Children, obey your parents. They belong because you belong to the Lord. It's because you're in a covenant relationship. This is the right thing to do. Honor your father. That quotes the Exodus 20. This is your first. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you. That's to the children. But then in verse 4, fathers, again, why dads? I think it's because dads are probably more guilty than moms. But not exclusively. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Don't aggravate them. Don't point them toward a life of hypocrisy and inconsistency. And then the last one of my series of blueprints for rebellious living is this. When you place in your home the high value of folly instead of the high value of substance. What do I mean by folly? Frivolous. What do I mean by all of that? It's sort of that secondary, maybe even not even secondary values of importance. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth. There are many things that you do in your life that kind of don't have any great sense of necessarily importance. They can mean something, but when you raise those values up and you completely avoid the real things of value, I can promise you, you're going to live up a life and raise up your children in a world of wearing one of those goggles of a life that's not really there. What's that thing called when you wear the virtual whatever? Yeah, that reality that's not real. I don't know why I even call it reality, because it's virtual. It's not really real. It's a figment of something Google created somewhere and a picture somewhere. And you're going to walk your room and it's not going to be real. Create something that's real. That's a little bit like the sermon I preached a few weeks ago about the living out a leisure life, that fun and folly becomes like a drug that we live on and we raise our kids in that way. Let me give you the two positive ones, though. There's a blueprint for also prevention. Prevention. And what are they? I think they are this. You grow up or nurture personal, spiritual responsibility. You raise up these under you to say, you have a journey ahead of you. It's actually going to be, the older they get, you can remind them that it's not always going to be awesome. It's sometimes going to be, frankly, even kind of a little painful. But in that, guess what? You have the personal responsibility to raise them up. Now, I'm watching these kids over here standing around Chris a while ago. One of them was my granddaughter. And I'm, again, that's kind of why I got teary-eyed. I wasn't crying because of your singing, Chris. It's as good as it was. But I was sitting there, gotten teared up because I thought to myself, these kids are getting just a little taste of the joy of the journey. But, wow, what a responsibility. Now, granted, a three-year-old is going to have a different sense of responsibility than a six-year-old, than a 10-year-old. Than an 18-year-old, et cetera, et cetera. We get that. That's called the physical maturing process, which also is a part of the spiritual maturing process as well. But here's what our responsibility of as adults, be you parents or not, our responsibility as adults is to literally help nurture the spiritual responsibility that's on that child's life and the joy of that journey. And this is not a chore. It's not like just, we know our responsibility is take out the trash, you know, pick up your room, all that kind of stuff. But it's the exploring of that life. It's teaching them to stop, think, meditate, consider, reflect on the very thing that, quite frankly, as adults, many of you as adults, many of us as adults, struggle with dearly because we don't ever take time with God. And why in the world would you ever expect to model that with a child if we don't do that? But grow up personal responsibility by doing it yourself as an adult. And you children out there, I'm telling you, you get the joy of that journey. Let me give you another one. We get the chance. The blueprint for prevention is that we emphasize to a child, all of you, all of us as grown-ups, the what we call the erosion principle. And that is that it's not just the one moral failure. We all have had moral failures. And sadly, we will have more of them. We know that's a part of the give and take and the struggle of this broken world that we live in. But we often point sometimes to the really bad one thing you do, when it's frankly, it's usually incremental, small, little steps along the way that erode over time until it one day comes to a collapse. And then I would also say the last third point in the blueprint for prevention is whatever you do and the investments that you make Invest your time more than anything else. Invest you. You. I saw you the other day on Facebook. And in that Facebook picture that somebody in your family posted was this fishing trip with your kids. Not only was I jealous, which is a sin, by the way, because they caught big fish, but I was also super proud. Now, is it always perfect? No. Fishing or the... He's lying now, and that's a sin. But it's not always perfect. But at the same time, it certainly is an investment of time to go in the joy of seeing that out. The last of this, for these last few minutes, is this. The most important of all, the blueprint for wisdom. The blueprints for wisdom. You got the blueprints that we know are definitely the ones that are rebellious and lead to rebellion. We know the blueprints for prevention. But now there's the biblical, proverbial blueprint for great wisdom. I think ultimately, as a parent, as an adult, one who's giving instructions, you create an appetite for true wonder of spiritual things. We stand in awe and at a game sometimes, and we cheer when our team wins, and we scream when our team loses. And to be honest with you, that's one of those kind of folly things. As much as I enjoy sports, I get it, the joy of that. But sometimes that becomes important instead of cheering on and being in wonder of what God really has done. Have you ever sat with your child, your grandchild, or a child that's been part of your life, you adults out there, and said, hey, did you notice? Did you see what I saw? I see something of what God's out there doing. And you create joy in that. And you show observing factors. When our son was about 6 months old, we introduced him, right or wrong, we introduced him to ice cream. I'll never forget it. We have a photo of it, the kind you used to have to print off, take to the store and print. And we were actually, I think we were at Mount Rainier National Park, and he was 6 months old, and we were up there. And Patty and I got some ice cream things, and little Brian had no idea what this little, you know, white thing curled up on top of this little cone was until his mother put him close to his lips, and he stuck out his tongue, and his eyes got huge, and he reached out, and he grabbed that cone and shoved it toward him. And he basically, in a six-month-old child's language, says, why haven't you shown me this before? Am I right? She knows what ice cream is. Why? Because it's wonderful. Until later, right? But it's awesome. Why don't we do that? Show these children around you. Observe, help them observe what you see. Why? Because you see. If you live in awe of the things of God, then I promise you those below you. You teach a kid how to love books by reading books. You teach a kid how to fish by taking them fishing and catching fish. You teach a child how to have, you know, how to build something by literally grabbing Legos and sitting on the floor or Lincoln Logs. I don't know if anybody does that anymore, but those things out there and building something with them so that later on, when it's time to hammer, I watched a little nephew of mine, my nephew's child, 5 years old, back in the backyard, hammering on this nail on a backyard treehouse or something. And he, for as far as he thought, he was building the whole thing. And he thought it was awesome. We teach them to build by building stuff. We teach them to be in awe of God and having a passion for spiritual things and walking amongst the stars of God by doing it ourselves and holding their hand and showing them. Taking a mission trip with them. Small adventures. Prayer walking with them. I want to show you this next one. Be a guide. If you want this blueprint for wisdom, be a guide that draws out their God-given spiritual uniqueness. Their God-given spiritual uniqueness. Psalm 139 says, for you created me in my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That's a very famous verse that talks about how God knew us even at conception. He knew who we were and he put it, knit it all together. God did that for you. God did that for children. All of you 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 5-year-olds, 3-year-olds, and here that's 1 year and 1 month old. God did that. And as a responsible adult who is raising that, what do you need to do? They're going to do wrong. They're going to aggravate you. You're going to get frustrated. You're certainly going to get exhausted. Amen? But in the middle of all of that, you recognize the fact that your role, spiritual parent, is to impart to them the uniqueness that God has made upon them. Jesus loves me, this I know. Let the little child come in. Jesus did that, we do that. The part of the blueprint, I would also say, show them respect as a part of as well as God's family. If you have been blessed to have children in your life, grandchildren in your life, children that have tremendous influence, let me tell you something. You respect them. To be in your family, they're not just an appendage for a period of time. For whatever reason, whether it's real or unreal or something that you wanted or didn't want or didn't plan it or unplanned. I think my mom might be listening right now, but I think I was an unplanned child. Okay? She'll call me this afternoon if she's listening and probably tell me if I was or not. But it's irrelevant. I was certainly planned by the Almighty. And my parents showed me the respect. That it wasn't mom and dad's house. It was our house. It was our family. It was our joy. That's what we do to our kids. That's what we do with our grandkids. That's what we do with the children in our church family. Whether you physically have children or not, these kids are part of God's unique plan. God's unique plan to bring covenant people to carry out his work in the world, no matter what it is. And that's why this Proverbs 22, verse 6, becomes not just a guarantee of a wall hanging out at a baby shower or a coffee mug to give to a young mom or dad. It's a wisdom of truth that says this is God's covenant people. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when they're older, they will not depart. They will not abandon it. You do that well and you live that as an adult to those people, those young people of influence, then I want you to know that God somehow in his sovereignty will have his way. This is not an easy task. So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to have three prayers. I'm going to invite our worship team. I'm going to invite Miss Heather to come up here as well. But here's what we're going to do. And this is true for the people in this room. We have a good group in here this morning. We have a lot of kids in here, and that's totally awesome. I'm going to ask the kids in just a minute to come up. Not yet. In fact, I'm going to put this down so that you can all see if we do that. We're going to have three prayers. We were not able to get Marta's prayer online quite like we wanted to, so I'm going to finish. But we're going to have three different prayer times. And I want all the adults. Actually, first, let me see if you're a parent or a grandparent right now. Let me just see the physically, biologically, or foster, or whatever it is right now, if you're a parent or a grandparent. That is totally awesome. And for all of those even online, this is for you as well. But now I actually want, I'm going to leave it at this. I want those of you that are around somebody right now, I want you, even if they're your parent, I want you to just kind of put your hand maybe on their shoulder. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer because I want to pray for all of us in here who are parents and grandparents. going to pray for everybody else in a minute. And even if you're online this morning, quite frankly, this is very much for you as well. Almighty God, we're overwhelmed with the responsibility sometimes of being a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, an uncle, an aunt, with that influence that we have over this generation. And right now I'm asking the kids in this room and kids at home, I want you quietly to pray for your parent, for your grandparent, for the person that's the mentor in your life. You pray for them right now, quietly to the Almighty. He can hear you. But God, we lift up with a special blessing these very special people who are bringing this influence to these wonderful, created, amazing human beings that we call boys and girls. Bless them. Give them courage when they need it. Give them patience when they need it. Give them fortitude when they get weak. We pray for new parents, like Ryan and Rosalind Overall, who just had a baby. For Samuel and Katie Taylor, who just had a baby not long ago. But all and many, many others. Give them strength, God. We dedicate these amazing human beings to you. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. All of you sit down, and I want all the children to stand up right now. All of you. Now, everybody is a child. I get it. But let's just draw a line here. Let's make it under 18. Seriously, under 18. All of you stand up. And I've asked Miss Heather to lift up a prayer specifically for you. And then all of you adults around them, I want you can stand or sit or whatever, but reach over and put your hand on their shoulder, some of you, even if you don't know them. And we're going to pray for them, all right? Okay. Heather, would you mind, please?
Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, those of us who have children and those of us who are your children, Lord, we have a great, deep, deep, deep desire in our hearts that our kids would know you as well. Lord, we pray from the time that they are infants to the time that we see them making decisions as adults and young adults, Lord, we want them desperately to rely on you the way that we have had to, the way that we have learned to love relying on you, Lord, because you are the only one that we can rely on. We see our kids as they start growing and learning and testing they can do. Lord, we want to see them be successful, but more than anything in the world, we want to see them realize that every strength, every ounce of goodness in their lives, every good vision, everything they do comes from you, Lord. And we pray that they learn that early and that they learn that throughout their lives, Lord. I pray for these kids. I pray that we as a church family would surround them with examples, with teaching, with experiences, with encouragement, with love. Lord, I pray that they would know your love through the church family around them. Lord, there are children who don't find that love in their homes, and I pray that we would go out and find them and share that love with them. Lord, I pray that our children, as they grow in their love for you, would reach out with that love to the other kids around them. Lord, I pray from a very young age that they would know your grace and your mercy and your power in their life. And I pray that we would be able to them. Lord, we know that no spiritual thing happens apart from you. And so we just pray that you would be active and present with them from their very first moments. Help them to grow in their knowledge and their understanding of you. Lord, we entrust them into your hands. And we thank you each and every moment for them. And it's in your son's name.